as the illusion they create. Pull the puppet strings and feel our fate. Watch yourself around me.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, back on the fastest moving show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. How the hell are you? This is Dale the Truth. You're listening to the Thursday Night Truth program on the My View Matters Radio Network. We'll get the numbers out at the top. Sometimes we get the phone calls. Sometimes we don't. If you're listening on the phone and you're listening to us by telephone, you can always press the one key to let us know that you went on the air. And here is the one-man band that we are. We don't screen calls. We don't run commercials. We give this to you commercial-free, ad-free. Maybe we'll promote ourselves a little bit, but we're the only ones talking about the real news. You know, us and InfoWars and Drudge. No one else is talking about it. But the numbers, again, are 858-683-1326. And in the Louisville, Kentucky metro area, 502-805-0334. Getting right to it, today is Thursday, May the 16th, hard to believe it, 2013. And we will start out quickly with this date in history. Lately, a lot of people are talking about impeachment, and I don't know if impeachment is going to do any good, but this date in history, 1868 on this date, President Andrew Johnson was acquitted in his impeachment trial by one vote in the United States Senate. See, he, like President Clinton, was impeached but not removed. Too many people who went to the government indoctrination camps that we call public schools don't understand that impeachment begins in the House just to be impeached, and then the Senate holds over a trial for removal. And Andrew Johnson was acquitted by one vote in his removal attempt by the U.S. Senate on this date in 1868. So 100, and if my math does me right, 35 years ago, 145 years ago, public schools there, I apologize. This date in 1918, the Sedition Act of 1918, how ironic, was passed by the U.S. Congress, making criticism of the U.S. government during wartime an imprisonable offense. For what it's worth, it would be repealed less than 2 years later. That sounds a lot like common times, too, with the Patriot Act. And, well, if you see your neighbor doing something against the government, like we said last week, they have sheriffs out there that say, we want you to tell us if your neighbor hates the government. Hell, they accuse this show and this network of hating the government. We don't really give a damn. We're going to keep preaching the truth. And finally, this date in 1966, the great Bob Dylan, still with us, can't say late yet, thank goodness, the great Bob Dylan released the first ever double album in popular music history. Can't make it all history as far as political stuff. We're talking about impeachment and sedition, and kind of brings us back to today, and a lot of people were talking about impeachment. I'm not really getting caught up on the impeachment story because, hell, who the hell would going to have in the U.S. Senate that would remove dear leader President Obama? Nobody would remove him. People like Harry Reid and the rest of those critters in the U.S. Senate would never speak ill of the first black president. Of course, we know Bill Clinton, they told us, was the first black president, and he wasn't removed either, and that was with a Republican Senate. So we know that President Barack Hussein Obama is not going anywhere. We know he's not going to be removed from office. I guess impeachment would be kind of fun for the campaigns of some Republicans, and it would help their campaign coffers and their fundraising efforts, but we're not really going to focus on it too much tonight because we stick to issues that nobody else is talking about. And that takes us to our good friend, Judge Andrew Napolitano. He wrote a good piece out today on the Creators Network called Storm Clouds Gathering. And I'll borrow from the good Judge Napolitano with my own commentary here. But he started out saying today in Storm Clouds Gathering, government is bad for personal freedom. Can't argue with that. And that is premised upon the truism that everything government does interferes with freedom because it either prohibits or compels. The government always is telling you that you either must do something or you must not do something. That's my words, and it's they take everything they own from others. What did the great Ronald Reagan say? If they see it's moving, they subsidize it, or if they see it's not moving, they tax it. I mean, President Obama, just like President George W. Bush, has argued that his first job is to keep America safe. And he wants to impair your personal freedom in that process, boys and girls. And that's just a small price to pay for safety. And the media buys this argument. The left and right wings of the false left-right paradigm buy the argument that it's for your safety. Well, I don't buy it. I call it bullshit because it's what it is. We know what Ben Franklin said. If you try to give up liberty for safety, you deserve and get neither. A lot of fallacies with the argument that you have to give up freedom and privacy for safety and security. Until now, this past week we learned that the IRS, of course, has targeted quote-unquote conservative groups whose message with which it disagrees. And we learned the Department of Justice got the personal telephone records of hundreds of reporters and editors employed by the AP without a search warrant or a judge. I said last night on the Ed Springsteen show, I fully expect that the AP will get their knee pads cleaned off, just like Chris Matthews, who might have lost that tingling sensation for a moment. I figure they'll be back on their knees fellatioing the president, metaphorically speaking, of course, pretty soon. You see, during this past week, we even learned that the White House, the Department of State, and the CIA all had another conspiracy of disinformation. So the official version of the events that occurred with the deaths of Americans in Benghazi would have not impaired Obama's reelection campaign last year. The common thread in all this, says Judge Napolitano, continuing with his piece from Creator Syndicate, is that government secrecy and lying are a general rejection of government's moral obligation to tell the truth. A disturbing yet brazen willingness to evade and avoid the restrictions that the Constitution has deliberately built around government. Folks, I'll step away from the article here for a minute. When you have a president that tells you, don't have to worry about him doing anything to your freedoms, you don't have to worry about him screwing you over because the Constitution won't let him do it, why the hell, if he's supposed to be protecting freedoms and liberties, which we know he's not, but why the hell would he say that, don't worry, the Constitution won't let me do this? He acts like he brazenly admittedly is upset that that little document keeps him from taking away your liberties. The same little document that, if we could find the sound bite, I would love it, but the sound document that George W. Bush, many people called a simple goddamn piece of paper. Whenever constitutional people would bother W. about the Constitution, that was the rumor of what he said, don't bother me with that goddamn piece of paper. His words, not mine. But the Constitution has an equal protection clause that requires the government to treat all similarly situated entities in a similar manner. You see, the First Amendment prohibits the government from using speech and expressive activities as a basis to disparately treat them in a bad manner. That sounds great. That is, on the basis of what the IRS has admitted, and without any further investigation, just on its face, we have violations of these constitutional principles, of course. If the IRS was to examine the applications for tax exemption of groups like Media Matters with the same level of scrutiny as it does Tea Party Patriots, it would not run afoul of these principles. And those are the judge's words, and I agree, but I guess I wish they would leave all these groups alone. I don't care if you're left-wing or right-wing, if you're still buying into that false left-right paradigm that I'm trying to beat out of people. I think they should leave them all alone. The judge does make the point that if they were treating groups like Media Matters like this, I guess it would be okay. I mean, there's even some liberals coming out and who are defending groups like the Tea Party, which we thought we'd never see because, God forbid, they know what it was like to be targeted. You see, short of any criminal behavior like bribery or conspiracy, the IRS employees who singled out applications for tax exempt status or extra levels of scrutiny just based on political expression, they should be removed from office. But they cannot be prosecuted, and they cannot be sued. So here we go again. Congress is to blame. The White House is to blame. I will blame the executive and legislative branches here. Because like I said on the Springsteen show, both Republicans and Democrats have used and abused the IRS when it's advantageous to them. And neither party inwardly wants laws that will prevent it from doing this in the future. Is that what you expect of your tax collectors, folks? You see, this is why I said that no president is ever going to be removed from office. I would love to see an impeachment on probably 9 of the last 10 presidents. But we know, now going back to the aforementioned Senate trial, that no party is going to remove a president who is from that uniparty, as we call the Democrats and Republicans, because then they're afraid it's going to come back and get them next time. Very few people, like Dr. Ron Paul when he was in Congress, or Dennis Kucinich when he was in the halls of Congress, very few people will stand up against both parties. Now, moreover, the Constitution also has that First Amendment, which assures the right of professional journalists, use that term loosely these days, professional journalists to seek and protect their sources, and it gives them immunity from government prosecution or retribution for telling the truth, even if it involves information that was stolen. Well, first of all, we know the government isn't telling us the truth, and we know mainstream press, which is their lapdog and carrying water for them, or whatever metaphor you want to use, we know they rarely tell the truth. But the Supreme Court taught us about First Amendment protecting journalistic integrity and sources in the Pentagon's papers case. But jumping from the First Amendment, let's go over to the Fourth Amendment. Moreover, the Fourth Amendment requires that the government wants private information about who stole its secrets from whom, that it needs a search warrant. That dirty little thing that government jackboot thugs don't want to have to deal with messing with getting a search warrant from a judge. So this is where the judicial branch, I guess, gets a pass right now, because the judicial branch, if they don't give out the search warrant, the jackboot thugs don't give a damn. Hell, they'll come in anyway. The Patriot Act was celebrated by right-wingers and left-wingers alike, and media folks who had their telephone records since seized. They celebrated the Patriot Act. And the Patriot Act permitted federal agents to write their own search warrants. I guess it's like Sheriff Buford Pusser about King the Story. He just says he keeps the warrant in his boots. The Patriot Act folks made a mockery of the Fourth Amendment, and government knows that, and now we got to where we are today. I believe we're going to go straight to the phone lines. I believe our good friend Paul from Stop Invisible Taxes is with us. Paul, are you there?
Hi, Dale. What's shaking, man?
How are you doing, Paul? We're just talking about all the different amendments that they're sending down the toilet. What say you?
That's what prompted my call, your discussion of the amendments. And while the Uniparty is certainly a large part of the problem, I tell you what, because of the public education system not teaching the fundamentals of the way this country was designed to operate, that's also largely responsible. I got an actual something that happened to me. I had a fellow who was who I thought was more of a friend than an acquaintance.
Uh-oh.
And I was railing the other day about the feds coming in and dictating to states what the states can and cannot do.
Yeah.
And my friend asserted his opinion, and this is he's been very consistent on these kinds of things, and that is that I don't have any reason to complain because federal anything trumps state anything all the time. And I sought to remind him. I said that the Constitution actually has an amendment that deals with such, and it reserves those rights not specifically enumerated to the federal government revert to the states. He said, "No, that's not right." Now this guy is 67 years old, Dale.
What a maroon.
67 years old, and
he
so
went to the government indoctrination
up-
camps called public schools. Back when I thought hell at his age. I thought maybe they were teaching this stuff. So did he just forget it all or what, Paul?
Well, it has to do with a concept that I like to refer to as relative moralism, okay,
yep.
Or moral relativity, which we hear that coming out of the religious right side a lot of times. But what it is, as I see it, it's also called situational ethics.
Yep.
That there are no absolute ethical behaviors that are absolute. There's just no absolutes. Everything is relative. And this guy is one of those kinds of guys. He does that. Now, the thing that irritated me and has really put a strain on our relationship is that I sent him a link to Hillsdale College's two courses on the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of folks who don't know this, they actually have a 201 course out now, which actually begins to delve into some really good analysis of how the Constitution's concepts compare with today's popular opinions and such, particularly the what's called the liberal left or liberalism. In fact, they make a real nice distinction between liberalism and progressivism, which the liberals today want us to believe they're progressives. As defined by this Hillsdale course, the liberals today are liberals. They are not progressives in the classic sense. So, but anyway.
Well, liberalism was once a good word if we're going to, you know, get off on terms. So I guess they're progressing towards socialism and Marxism if that's what they're progressing towards. But the word classic liberal, people like Hayek and von Mises and back in the day, these guys were using that term as a term of endearment. But again, when you're talking about a gentleman who is of this age, I believe you said this guy is in his 60s, and he's
67, yeah,
promoting this closer to 70 years old. I mean, it's, I guess it should surprise me, and it appalls me, but it doesn't surprise me because there is this moral relativism. I mean, I'm kind of crazy, Paul, in that I think that the federal government should just leave the states the hell alone. I mean, I was just thinking over this with myself today. I don't really talk to too many people who are way out there like that. I guess I've just stopped wasting my time with them because I've given up debating them. But I just wish that the federal government would stay in the little box that our founding fathers put them in, which said that their job was to protect us from enemies, foreign and domestic, and let the states do what the hell they wanted with the rest of their lives.
Well, you just said, Dale, something that that I knew was going to happen with my buddy, okay? And that is, as a result of him irritating the snot out of me with his insistence that I just didn't know what I was talking about regarding the limitations on the federal government outlined in the Constitution.
Yep.
And I sent him these links. Do you know he absolutely refused to take a look at any of that stuff? He refused to. And then
don't
when I sent him a follow up, I sent him a follow up email, and it was a really pointed, and it contained some personal stuff that I know about this guy. And I referred to his little utopian point of view as delusional. And he really got upset about that. But the fact of the matter is that he accused me of not wanting to debate. And I said, hey, now wait a minute. I'm the guy that's sitting here, sending you links, providing you printed material, refuting your points. You're the guy that has not made one effort to refute anything that I have. You keep saying that my point of view is wrong, but you have yet to produce a single refutation of anything that I have said. So I'm tired of it. But this is the classic utopian point of view, which a lot of these liberals have, utopia. And I have come to the inescapable conclusion that their utopian point of view is actually a form of delusion. It's self-delusion.
Well, it's kind of like the guy goes into the doctor, and the doctor tells him that he has delusions of grandeur, and the guy will look at the doctor and say, but I am grand. I mean, this is what they're about. I mean, I can't argue with these type of people anymore, Paul, because imagine, I don't even pretend to be a constitutional expert, but imagine if you try to explain to him things that we may or may not get into tonight, depending on my big stack of stuff here, but imagine if you try to explain to him about the globalists controlling us or about the Bilderberg Group. I imagine his head would spin like Linda Blair if you try to explain to him the false left-right paradigm. What do you think?
Well, explaining to him, Dale, it's an exercise in futility. He exhibits all the classic symptoms of a delusional liberal. He claims he is in search of the truth. He wants the truth.
You need to listen to the show then.
Well, that's just it. I've even put him onto a far left website.
Oh, dear.
And asked him to listen to that. In fact, that website features several interviews by Noam Chomsky, who, when I have listened to Noam Chomsky, he's an interesting guy. Have you listened to him very often?
I enough to know that he's kind of out there, but when you get into a Chomsky or a Lowell Weicker or who's the guy on the other extreme, it's almost like when you get to the far extreme left and right, they come back together. Who was the gentleman who kept running for president as a Republican, but he was like a fascist? You know who I'm talking about, Paul? I'm trying to remember.
No, That name escapes
well,
me.
Maybe
that, but
I mean, they get so far to the left and so far to the right, and it's an old buddy of mine who was a Marine sergeant who actually took classes at U of L with me back in the day. He said, once you get too far on the left and too far on the right, Dale, they all come back together.
And he's right about that, because if you listen to this once a week Block Talk radio show featuring this far, far left lady from out of Michigan, I'm going to tell you, Dale, the concerns of the far, far left are almost identical to the concerns of the people on the right. I mean, but yet they refuse, they being the far, far left, absolutely refuse to engage in any dialogue because they're not interested in solving the problems. They are interested in being the supreme ruling elite. That is their only goal.
The name I was trying to come up with was Lyndon LaRouche. I'm sure you heard of that guy.
I have heard of Lyndon LaRouche.
So, you know, once you get into LaRouche or Chomsky or those guys, they kind of all come together, and they'll have interesting points, and I don't disagree with them on everything because I refuse to put them in a left or right box. But again, I'm not a constitutional scholar, Paul, but again, right now you look at the current stuff going on, and I won't even get into all the different juggling conspiracies or the juggling controversies that our current administration has, but from what I understand from the White House, I'm trying to take good notes, and from what I understand, at no time was the Obama administration aware of what the Obama administration was doing. Does that sound about right? At no time, I'll repeat it for the audience, at no time was the Obama administration aware of what the Obama administration was doing. I think that pretty much sums it up.
Well, my analogy is very similar in that Obama has positioned himself as somebody up in the football bleachers along with the rest of the crowd, cheering and booing what's going on down the field, but he doesn't claim any ownership for what's going on down the field. He's a spectator. And, you know, the number one job in the United States is not that of being top spectator.
Supposed to be to protect our liberties, and like I said, I have to go back to Bush, and people get mad when I do that, but I truly believe that, and I know people can go back even further, but if I go back just to Reagan, after Ronald Reagan left office in January of 89, I truly believe that each presidency after that has withered away the Constitution and shredded it more, and I know the neocons get mad at me if I say that W did it more than Clinton, but I don't think there's much argument that George Herbert Walker, New World Order Bush was worse than Reagan, and Clinton was worse than Bush. And unless people were just really drinking the Kool-Aid with Obama, we have to agree that even he's worse than W. But to get back to Bush and Obama and the president's job, the Constitution says it's supposed to preserve and protect and defend the Constitution. Safety is a need that we're supposed to provide when unimpeded by the government, Paul. The president's supposed to keep us safe but not free. Do you know anybody, even your 60-some-year-old friend, do you know anybody who feels more free now because the government's trampling their freedoms and their rights?
My 67-year-old buddy actually wants more government intervention on matters. He actually does. Now, I actually saw a little bit of that within my own family a number of years ago. When my dad got into his 70s, he was a lifelong Republican. He got political jobs, and he spouted all this stuff that he said he's a Republican and all that crap. But when he got into his late 60s and early 70s, he was a 100% advocate of government anything.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know, Dale. Maybe it's a function of getting into that age group, and you know that your time is short, and you say, look, I'm going to get all I can get while I can get it. I don't know, Dale. I really don't know the answer to that.
I had a friend of mine who was telling me today, reminding me about these people who want to talk about flat taxes and such, and as I told my friend on the social network today, I said, you know, I'd be for a flat tax if and only if we did what Dr. Ron Paul said, and that was that we used a flat tax percentage of zero, then and only then could I approve that message. And my friend wrote back, good luck, Dale. Even the quote-unquote right wing enjoys new taxes these days. And he's correct. Both sides of the false left-right paradigm love legalized theft. And that's why I said when you have people who are in liberal groups now coming out and saying, yeah, the IRS targeted us too, I proposed last night on the Springsteen show that if Obama wanted to show that he had any balls at all, he should get rid of his interim IRS person and replace him with Dr. Ron Paul.
The secret to getting this beast under control is that you've got to quit feeding the beast.
Yep.
And the feeding of the beast takes place when they forcibly take our earnings away from us. And that's the way this beast will be defeated without a lot of bloodshed. Otherwise, if we don't defeat the beast in that manner, then I think bloodshed is highly likely. Highly likely. If we don't
defeat
the beast.
I talked last week, Paul. I don't know if you got to hear the archives or hear some of the show. I talked last week about a situation. You know, are you familiar with Mr. Adam Kokesh?
No.
Familiar with him? He is a former Marine. I know some people say once a Marine, always a Marine, these military hacks. But Adam Kokesh was a former Marine who now does his own Internet Patriot radio shows. And he is proposing, and I hope he does go through with it. I can't see him backing down. And I didn't mean to get back off on this tangent, but I mentioned this last week. He is proposing, and I haven't gotten an update on over the last day or two, of having an armed march in Washington, D.C., on Independence Day weekend, and he is recruiting what he hopes is up to 100,000 people. Now, could you imagine, Paul, the Park Service and whatever the hack lady's name or title is that runs the police in the District of Criminals, they say if people come in there and do this armed protest, that they're going to arrest them all. And we're having a group of numbers that is now in the tens of thousands that say they're going to open carry march on Washington, D.C. What's going to happen, Paul?
Well, I think that they will do the best that they can to make examples of as many as they can and hope that the rest get scared enough to get pushed away or to leave. But I will tell you this, Dale, should that happen, first of all, I don't think there will be 100,000, number one.
I know,
number
I
two,
hope. I think
there
will be thousands.
I think there will be thousands because there's enough people that are stirred up enough in this country and are just absolutely disgusted with
yep.
the way that this country is headed
yep.
That they will show up and say, I'm putting it out on the line. Now, Dale, that is reminiscent of the founders of this country.
Got it.
They put life, liberty, and their personal fortunes at maximum risk to establish this country. So I like the attitude. I like the attitude a lot.
I love the civil disobedience behind it because what you just said is very important. They'll take down as many as they can and make an example and try to scare the rest. And we've seen examples when people try to do something very peaceful like consume marijuana in different state capitals. My friends up in New Hampshire, they had a 420 celebration. I've never been a consumer of marijuana, but I say good for them for standing up for a plant that the government and neocons want you to think is so dangerous. It's far safer than alcohol or nicotine or even caffeine. But they had an example where on April 20th, they went to the state capitol of New Hampshire, and there were hundreds of people smoking marijuana on the state capitol. And guess what? Because of their many numbers, Paul, none of them were harassed or arrested.
Well, going to the marijuana issue, Dale, I think that they're right, that the marijuana is dangerous, but not for the reason that they're saying. I think that marijuana is dangerous because a very tiny number of people in this country control the marijuana industry.
Yep.
Now, think about it. The number of raids in comparison to what is alleged to be growing, particularly here in Kentucky in the Daniel Boone National Forest, the number of successful raids are relatively small percentage. Now, Dale, with the modern technology, these law enforcement types, they would have the ability to have a much, much higher percentage of raids as compared to the amount of marijuana that they claim is in circulation. So let's go back to an old movie line. Follow the money.
Oh, yeah.
Follow the money.
It's all about the money.
It's all about the money. That's all it is. It's not,
and the funny,
not one
the funny
thing about the health.
Go ahead.
It's not one thing about health consequences. It is only a money issue.
Right. And the funny thing is, Paul, you can go back 20-some years, like you mentioned, Justin, and here in Kentucky. Now, some of these candidates out there, they might have other reasons for people to question their sanity, but I can tell you that over 20-some years ago, you had candidates like Gaywood Galbraith and Pepe Martin. When they would propose stuff that even mentioned the word marijuana or hemp, they were just run out campaign-wise, metaphorically, on a rail. And now these are mainstream issues, at least the hemp one is in Kentucky. And we'll go to our bottom of the hour break here, folks. You're listening to the Thursday Night Truth Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. As Paul and I were discussing, we know that we're winning. And the reason that we know we're winning is the way that the almighty government reacts to the way we're winning. And we will talk about that in just a minute.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Coming out of the break there with AC/DC and Problem Child. You are listening to the Thursday Night Truth Show, TNT Radio, on the My View Matters Radio Network, the top growing, that's terrible English there, my grammar, I apologize, but the highest rated, most growing, however you want to say it, show on Thursday nights and Blog Talk. We were talking to our good friend Paul from Stop Invisible Taxes before the break, and I was telling Paul in between the music there, the reason we know we're winning is because of what the government keeps doing. And one of the stories that I talked about weeks and weeks ago was Bitcoin. I've got friends up in New Hampshire who've been on this Bitcoin kick for a long time, and I wasn't involved in it, but I kind of watched it from afar. And Paul, you won't believe this, but the United States government, Homeland Security, just 2 days ago, our wonderful friends who are watching out for us at the Motherland Security, I mean Homeland Security, seized the top Bitcoin exchange. What do you think about that?
Well, I completely agree with your assessment that it is an indicator that we are winning. Since our basic premise is that government as it is now being run is essentially corrupt top to bottom, anything that poses a threat to their control, they're
right.
going to act on it, and they're going to invent reasons.
Well, we know
act.
The government hates competition, Paul, and again, I guess this comes from the same category of the way they take down gangsters when they can't get them for what they want to get them on. We know that they hate monetary competition. That's an issue that we've talked about. We've tried to make monetary issues sexy here on the show for a while, but the way they took them down was they claimed that the exchange service was falsifying financial documents. If you can believe this, the government has made it clear that they're watching Bitcoin, which if those who don't know, it's a decentralized economy currency that regulators can't control, so that's why they hate it. Many of those who favor Bitcoin will use different startups that allow customers to transfer their dollars into Bitcoins, but unfortunately, Homeland Security issued a warrant just 2 days ago that shut down Dwolla, which is an Iowa-based startup that allows people to process Bitcoin to dollars and dollars to Bitcoin. So they claimed that not because it was unlicensed money transmitting, but because they had false financial documents. So they're coming up with whatever BS that they can. And the warrant claims that the Mt. Gox CEO that runs this group did not disclose that he operated a financial transfer site when he opened up a new bank account. I mean, can you believe this crap?
Well, look what they did to the Tea Party and Patriot groups. You know, they were asking for the names and addresses of people who supported them or was likely to support them, and that was way outside of the rules. Listen, they will just invent stuff.
They make it up as they go.
And see, that's why I'm really optimistic is that the longer this goes on, the more deeply entrenched resentment will become. Even people who seemingly said, I'm not interested in politics, you start biting them in places that are important to them.
Yep.
They will say, I'm getting tired of this crap. And it's like that Petyeski movie from way back when called Network, you know?
Yep.
You know,
Man, I'm not going to take it anymore. Yeah,
I'm not going to take it anymore.
That happens regularly.
That happens regularly among peoples. It happened to start this country. We've seen it happen over in the former Czechoslovakia. We've seen it happen in all sorts of places. People get tired of having the government step on their toes.
Well, here's my question about Bitcoin, Paul. And for any of the audience, if you disagree with me, by all means, call in and tell us if you disagree with me. And you just think I'm way off base on Bitcoin, by all means, 858-683-1326, call in and let us know. But here's the thing, Paul. Bitcoin has done far more good than it has bad. They don't like it because people will use it on places like, dare I say, the torrent sites and the other pirate organizations out there. And I won't list the websites. God forbid they'll shut down our whole radio network. And I know Ed Springton's out there listening. I don't want him to pass out. So I won't mention the websites, but we know there's some out there, and they use those sites and they buy stuff with the Bitcoin that maybe they couldn't buy with a phony monetary dollar. And again, Bitcoin's also used for a lot of contributions and donations. So they try to shut this down because they don't like competition with their monetary system. And again, Bitcoin's not even a coin as much as it is it's not even a currency. What's the word I'm looking for? It's more like a market. Is a currency, but people wonder if Bitcoin's friction within the Treasury Department is the cause of this recent scrutiny. You had idiots like Chuck Schumer of New York who said that the anonymity afforded by Bitcoin provides an online form of money laundering.
He should know.
Well, I know. They're on top of it, aren't they? They're the kings of money laundering.
Yeah.
And most notably, go ahead.
These people that see problems and then make claims like Chuck Schumer does, the only reason they know this kind of stuff goes on is because they themselves have participated in such an effort. You can't accuse – here, let me give you a good example. And you see this in the movies all the time.
Yeah.
All right? Let's go back to the Western days. You got all these guys sitting down at a poker table in a saloon, right? And, of course, the hero is he's a poker whiz. He knows how other players cheat, okay?
Yep.
Why does he know that? Because he's done it himself, okay?
Oh, they're
and
experts.
So Yeah, they're experts, and that's how come Chuckie Schumer knows all of this stuff and all of these other political types. They know this, and they're scared to death that somebody's going to come along and take away from them these ill-gotten gains that they've enjoyed for all these years. You mentioned marijuana, and I want to bring in Kentucky because going back to yet another piece of evidence that we're winning, all right, why – some of your listeners may not know, but Kentucky is right now in the midst of a pretty good debate over the growing of industrial hemp, which has an exceptionally low THC content. Okay, we have got a lot of in-state resistance to that, even though industrial hemp could very well help a lot of Kentucky farmers who have had their tobacco allotments cut down or eliminated because tobacco is becoming a less and less lucrative crop. Okay.
Well, that's going back, like you said, follow the money trail, Paul. I mean, go ahead and finish up. I know I got another caller I want to get in here. Go ahead.
And so why would Kentucky politicians have an issue with a good substitute crop that could easily help out Kentucky farmers? Well, the answer lies in the fact that the industrial hemp, when planted, will end up cross-pollinating the regular marijuana crops, and over time will reduce the potency of the regular marijuana. So, Dale, who's growing the regular marijuana? It's not John and Jane Doe, okay?
Nope. Follow the money. I agree with you totally, Paul, and we're going to get back to our next caller here. But again, to tie it back in, not to get out too much, and we know we're winning because you look at the Bitcoin situation, like I said, you look at what Jerry Bridle, a scholar over at the Mercantilist Center, good libertarian group at George Mason University, he told the Washington Post that Bitcoin could reduce the cost of financial services by pioneering new business formats. It has the potential to be a boon to the economy and to merchants because it could disrupt traditional payment networks that have not been innovative for a very long time. And I see we got another card on the line. I think this gentleman knows also of what I speak. I believe this is our Sunday night host, Mr. Ken Moman. Are you there, Mr. Moman?
Hey, Dale. How's it going? Paul?
I'm doing great, my friend. We are winning, and we got the empire on the ropes. What say you?
I agree with you. And, you know, the scary thing about the Bitcoin, and Dale, you touched on this a little bit, you know, really Bitcoin is a virtual commodity.
Exactly. That's where
it's going for
commodity. It's not even a currency. Go ahead.
Right. So what essentially Bitcoin is doing is a virtual barter, which in some ways like currency and in some ways not. You know, it's a lot easier to, of course, use currency rather than taking a cow to the market to buy milk or to whatever. But that's the purpose of currency. But, you know, at the end of the day, Bitcoin is a digital commodity. And the signal that this sends basically is you will use our money.
I know.
You know, that's what they're trying to send anyway. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, the genie's out of the bottle. I mean, there's Bitcoin everybody knows about, but now there's, what is it, Litecoin, and there's a few others that are out there doing this now, too.
Well, I talked about this weeks and weeks ago. I mean, there were things that didn't make it. We saw what happened to the poor guy with the Liberty Dollar, and there are things that just don't quite make it. There was gold money. There was there was, what was it called, Pecunix back in the day. There was e-bullion. There was super gold. There was e-gold. There's all kinds. There are states like up in the Dakota where they have their own bank. And I think you kind of touched on it again. The big thing that really bothers the federal Nazis about this, they can't track it. They can't tax it.
And they can't control it, which is even more important than taxing it. It's all about the control. You know, that's how they, anymore, modern law enforcement, all these things, it's all about tracking the dollars. It's all about tracking the money. And the biggest complaint I ever hear about Bitcoin in general is, well, my God, people are buying drugs and prostitutes with Bitcoin, and there's no way for the feds to find out. And you know, I have to wonder, didn't the cops, like, used to bust people for drugs and prostitution before we had all this electronic equipment? I mean, is it just that the cops are lazy? Or,
You know, to go back to tying the drug discussion, you know, or the plant discussion, as we should call it, as we were having with Paul from Stop It, we saw what happened when they made drugs illegal, when they made that horrible drug called alcohol illegal. It created a boom with the mob. It created a boom with people who now run the government in Chicago. And you said it best, Ken. We're talking to Ken Moman from our Sunday Night Show, Liberty Unbridled here, folks. You said it best. The genie's out of the bottle. And I do want to ask you a question. What Jerry Bridle at the Mercantilist Center said, and I want to get your opinion on this, Ken, because I think you might have a good good input on this. But Mercantilist Center said, that with the genie being out of the bottle, the Bitcoin community is going to need to start lobbying, and they need to start educating policymakers and lobbyists about the pros of Bitcoin. Is that good or bad?
I think it shows how far it's gotten. I guess is really what it shows. The genie's out. The powers that be are going to try to put the genie back in the bottle. They may be successful at swatting down the big guys, which is typically what they do. They use the big guys to make an example, and I'm betting the Stiwala guys are going to get whomped pretty hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because they're going to try to set an example and scare people out of the market. But it's too late. I mean, there's already competitors out there, Litecoin, and I know there's two or three others.
And I hope there are. I hope this market come along. But the big question, Ken, is not only is the genie out of the bottle, but we talk about drugs. Let's talk about these horrible, horrible drugs. I think, even our audience and our hosts on this airwaves, we might even agree. When you get into stuff like heroin, and well, we won't get into opium because we know our Marine Corps helped them grow that in Afghanistan. But if you get in the worst of worst drugs, and there's some drug dealer in Cincinnati or Louisville or Lexington, and he's selling drugs, what do they usually pay the drug dealer in, Ken? Is it not Federal Reserve notes?
Well, yeah, it's always cash. I mean, that's...
So why don't they shut down the Treasury then? Because that's used for drug laundering.
it is kind of ridiculous. I think this is really mainly, though, about control. It's about making sure people do things the way they want them to. The movement in this country is towards a nannyist. We'll give you two or three choices that are government approved, but not these other choices that you'd have in a real free market. I think that that's really what we're seeing here is they want you to use the dollar. Oh, there's nothing wrong with the dollar. What are you talking about? And I think that's a big part of it, too, is that everybody in their gut knows the dollar's in trouble. Anybody who's paying any bit of attention at all in their gut knows the dollar's in trouble. We've been printing and printing and printing and printing, and there's going to be a price to pay for that, literally, in inflation. And so these alternate currencies scare the crap out of these guys because when that inflation eventually comes, things like gold, bullion, things like Bitcoin are going to go up in value. Now, gold, there's a precedent already set that they can take gold, right? I mean, FDR did that.
Yeah, he did. I confiscated gold. Yeah.
How are you going to take somebody's Bitcoin?
You can't.
I mean, the way technology works, you can't take it.
No, and people don't even know the actual origin of the man who started it. That's the irony with it. And again, you want to talk about secrecy and inability to take it. I mean, I was getting ready to make a sarcastic joke about it. I guess next would be them going after things like, the new Amazon currency coin and Google Wallet. But we know the reason they won't go after them, Ken, is because the government's already in bed with Google. That's what led me to the comment from the Mercantilist Center about lobbying, because, hell, if they were already in bed with the Bitcoin people, they wouldn't be going after them.
Well, I think the Amazon coin thing is actually a ruse and actually made to muddle the issue because they're pegging their coin to a penny.
Yep.
And so they're specifically saying it, and basically what they're doing is a gift certificate. It's all Amazon's coins.
It's just like gift cards or something, right?
Right. And so the point is, though, that they're muddying the waters and confusing things. So I think this is part of something broader. I don't know. Maybe it's just coincidence, but I really don't see the Amazon coin going anywhere. And they're not going to go after Amazon because they're not using it anywhere but Amazon. Whereas Bitcoin, I mean, there's obviously it's a true, decentralized free market thing that people put value on, and so they trade it. The SEC, how in the world do you regulate the transfer or the trading of Bitcoins? You can't. How do you control the value of the Bitcoin? You can't.
No, you're 100% right about it, Ken. Like I said, I was glad to get you in here. I'm quickly running out of time, so I'll put you back in the queue for a moment as I try to make a quick segue. And the segue is the government folks won't go after Google because they're in bed with Google. I just briefly have enough time. Maybe we'll get into overdrive for a few minutes. The audience always demands that. But this ties into the globalists again. And, yes, I somehow got back to that, folks, but Google is definitely in bed with the globalists. I mean, hell, if anything, if I had to give a bad metaphor picture, Google is riding the globalist all through the night in the bed. And the reason I say that is we talk about the Bilderberg group here. We're not afraid to talk about Bilderberg. And we know right now, we know we're a couple weeks away, and we'll talk about it in future weeks on the show. Maybe we'll hit it on Ed's show also. But we know the Bilderberg group, will meet in a couple weeks in Europe for their June 6th to 9th Build-A-Bear 2013. But the way this ties into Google, I've been warning people about Google for weeks and months, if not years. But the Bilderberg Group is in the process of merging with a new breed of technocrat folks under the umbrella of Google, with that behemoth corporation being handling the baton, if you will, by Bilderberg to implement policies in a variety of fields, both technology-related and geopolitical. I mean, sources are indicating that this is why they're going to meet in UK. We know The Economist talks about it out of UK. London is supposed to be the economic hub. But Bilderberg is transforming itself into a new technocratic elite with Google at the helm. So that's something we need to keep up with. I guess we can start calling Googleberg, if you will, because in a couple of weeks, that's going to be a big thing on their agenda, from what I'm being told at the 2013 Bilderberg meetings, is their attempt to fully incorporate with Google. This is why I warn people, and I'll get my pitch out there again. I don't use Google. I would never use Google for a search engine. I tell people to use StartPage. That's a search engine that doesn't track you. I would never use Google's Gmail. I tell people to go over to Lavabit, an encrypted private email service. And I sure as hell would not use Google's new browser. I tell people to use Firefox or Opera. So there's my little spiel on that. But, you know, this is all about control. Paul said it. Kim said it. And this is about all of controlling the masses. This is why we have our good friend Congressman Thomas Massie was on the U.S. House floor speaking against the internet sales tax last night on C-SPAN. Because they want to control the money so they can control you. God forbid you use Bitcoin or you go back to, like Ken said, to some barter system. Because they don't like it when you stand up to tyranny. Clearly, we're living under illegal rule, folks, by a group of criminals who have seized power and who have willfully violated the law. Do we not have a moral obligation to stand up and do things like Adam Kokesh is proposing and to march? Do we not have an obligation to stand against the tyranny, even if you do have your rifle slung over your shoulders in a nonviolent solidarity? Our clothes after this.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
I told you people it's the fastest moving hour in all Blog Talk Radio. That was the little short plug, the only commercial we do by Big Ed Springston. This is the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. There are shows here Sunday night through Thursday night, same time, same Blog Talk channel. We just talked to our good friend Ken Mulman, who is still lurking in the cloakroom there, if you will. He doesn't have to worry about being bugged like they bugged the cloakroom in Washington, D.C., but Ken is your host on Sunday nights with the Liberty Unbridled Show. Ed Springston comes back in here on Monday and Tuesday nights with Mr. Ed Martin. We come and join Springston on Wednesday nights, and we get back to yours truly on Thursday nights. Now, I teased this whole movement that Adam Kokesh is proposing in Washington. Yes, some people say, oh, he's doing it for attention. He's just a media whore. Folks, I don't support talk of overthrowing the government with armed men marching around Washington. I'm not a sucker for the system, but I do want us to restore liberty without violence. I've said that so many times. I want us to take back our government without resorting to armed revolts. Maybe I'm totally wrong, and you can change my position a month or a year from now, but I don't think we're quite at the threshold yet where people are going to pick up rifles and march on Washington. As we've been saying tonight, after all, we are winning the information war. We know it's an info war on so many fronts. so many fronts that the corruption, the criminal bureaucrats, Benghazi, the IRS and the Tea Parties, the seizing of documents and watching what the whores at the AP are doing. We could very well be looking at the beginning of the downfall of globalists like Obama and Hillary Clinton. Now, for the record, I endorse these actions of marching in the rhetoric of standing up for truth. I don't know Adam Kokesh personally, so I can't endorse him on a local personal level. But I still believe that when people get on the radio and say they're going to overthrow the American government, and they mean it more than metaphorically, it's probably foolish right now because we know they have tanks and bunker-busting bombs, and we simply have the guns they haven't seized yet. But just as we see some county governments borrowing ammunition from their private people because they can't get ammunition, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we got to hope that we're going to wake up the people and in turn wake up the American government to the reality that there are a huge number of informed people who are becoming more educated, who are becoming more aware, who aren't just sitting around with the breads and circuses of game shows and reality shows and sports, but they flat out had enough with the police state. They flat out had enough of the socialist agenda and the erosion of the Bill of Rights and the staged attacks on lawful, responsible gun owners. Is it heroic? You decide. For having the gumption to turn that long train of abuses into civil action, Adam Kokesh is technically promising to carry out an act of sheer heroism. If he pulls off this march of thousands of people, it'll be far more heroic than some sports player who comes out and says he's gay. That doesn't make you heroic. I don't give a damn who you're sexually interested in or not interested in, but if you're marching around D.C. with 1,000 men and women of different colors, of different faiths, of different economic, socio-political backgrounds, that takes balls, my friend. That takes balls. The point in all this is I admire his resolve. I pray that the government nor the citizens don't have any bullets flying on July 4th when they have this Independence Day march. And I also pray they do get thousands of people with video cameras filming every angle of this so that provocateurs can't pull off any false flags, because I believe this event might be too easily exploited by the powers that be. But I hope that people will stand up against the reindoctrination. I hope that they'll stand up against the illegitimate government. I hope that in the end, they will look past the stars and stripes, the nationalism of a flag and what America is. I realize we got to get past this bizarre fetish, this bullshit of our government acting like a third world dictator. It's time to stand up to them all and say death to your new world order. Metaphorically, of course.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!